Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Pushing the Hot Button. This week, this time, anyway, which is not a weekly thing, we're going to be talking about the Walking Dead brand that encompasses the game, the comics, and the television show. I'm Clint Prentice, joined with the full house of Evan Tognati.
I am here.
Matthew Malewski.
I'm here.
And Nicholas Clement.
Alive and doing moderately well.
So this just heads up total spoiler territory from anything Walking Dead related. The game just wrapped up its fifth and final episode of the season. Third season is nearing the mid-season, I guess.
Yeah.
And the comics are like, what, issue 105?
Around there, yeah.
Anyway. So let's get right down to it and I guess start with the freshest and, I don't know, best, I guess.
Hip-hoppinest.
You sure? The Walking Dead game from Telltale Games.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Evan, you just finished it last night.
I did. I finished it last night at around 2:30 in the morning. Because I lost my save, so I had to play all of it again. So I just sort of plowed through the last three episodes in one sitting.
Oh, wow. That's some heady shit.
Yeah, not recommended. Sort of fucks with your brain at a certain point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Let's just throw that out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very good.
That game is really good.
It's also extremely good.
Even though I kind of feel like all the parts where it's a game are the worst parts.
I agree completely.
Yes, yes.
I actually kind of want season two of the game to be almost more visual novel with points you can make a choice and indication of quick time events.
So you want Heavy Rain?
Yeah, I want more Heavy Rain, less.
So you want Jurassic Park?
Weak puzzle. No.
Well, that's what that was.
Well, maybe I want a good Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Yeah, Walking Dead universe, that'd be amazing.
dinosaurs.
I mean, I kind of feel the same way just because of how well written it was. Like,
sure.
From like episode to episode, very good. But then whenever you actually start thinking of the entire project as a whole, extremely good.
I felt for a while like I was living in some sort of vacuum where people didn't... Because a lot of people really liked The Walking Dead, but I was like, does everybody realize how much better written this is than every other video game? like they're sort of working on some next level shit right now. Just in terms of the character development and the way the choices aren't so much about affecting the outcome of the narrative as they are like affecting how people perceive your main character.
Right.
And you know, sort of the moral choices being about, you know, do you want to look like a good or a bad guy to the people who you're with?
Yeah.
More than anything. Because a lot of those choices aren't really... A lot of them are just like, yeah, you can make a choice here, but we're going to work it out so that it ends in pretty much a similar way.
Right. No matter what, like, let's take the fifth episode, for example. Like, I came in with everybody. Everybody that I could was there. That was Omid, mm-hmm. Krista, Ben, and Kenny.
Yeah.
And we all went in search of Clementine together. And by the end of it, it was the exact same ending that I would have gotten if I had gone just by myself.
Right.
Because, like, systematically people were either picked off or left to go do something else.
I wonder, that first choice where you cut off your arm, I guess that wouldn't be available to you if it was just by yourself.
Maybe. I don't know. But I,
that would have been
I
a, cut my, I, that actually would have been an interesting way to play through it.
I cut my arm off.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
So not like it helped.
That was great.
Not like it helped at all.
Yeah, it in the long run, it does nothing for you except.
Yeah, I even figured it wouldn't because, like, in the show, you know, it's, you know, spoil here, but season three, you know, Herschel cuts off his leg, but it's immediate, and that's why it works. It's been like an hour since he got bit, so I'm like, yeah, it's not gonna happen, but whatever, I'll do it.
We'll try
because just any benefits to sort of like slowing that down are like immediately canceled out by the blood loss. So
A lot of the choices in that game I made sort of around the crux of I'm just gonna do what's ever best for Clementine always.
Yes,
mm-hmm. And I feel like in that situation, that character is already so indebted to her as, like, the one thing he has left, that he'd probably consent to cutting off his arm if he thought that it would delay the process and get him there.
There was one option. It was, like, just, like, I think it was the final thing that you could say right before you cut off your arm. It was, like, fuck it, or no, don't do that. And so he's fuck it, just cut off the arm.
In the last couple episodes, they do a lot of really great stuff with the dialogue, like, choices, mm-hmm. where sometimes things interrupt your dialogue, or...
Yeah.
In the case of the arm cutting, the thing that really just... is essentially you select which one of these things you want to say as it's counting down, and then in the middle of you selecting it, she just starts cutting.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Ugh. And it's brutal, too.
It's, Like, no, they're not shy
away. Well, what happened was when I selected it immediately, so he starts talking, and then he's like, so, yeah, just be, oh, God.
Yeah. And then in the middle of her cutting, you can choose, oh, God, oh, fuck, or oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, that
I think the main reason why I didn't pick it up from the beginning is because I wasn't too sure if they could make like the main characters captivating. Like, do you really think that the main character, I don't remember his name, is truly Lee captivating, Everett. Or is it because of the other characters around him?
Oh, no, he's great. He's absolutely great.
He's really good.
Yeah.
That's it. And also probably my favorite cliffhanger in the whole, that series was great at cliffhangers at the end of episodes. But the end of episode 4, when you select your dialogue option and then it cuts to black.
Yeah.
And then it remembers it for the start of the next episode.
And that's how
the
episode begins. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Which is great because essentially, Nick, I'll just fill you in so you know what we're talking about here. You have this walkie-talkie, and there's a guy talking to you over it, and he says, you know, I have Clementine here, so you better choose your next words very carefully. And then you choose what it is you're going to say, and it zooms in, and you're about to press the walkie-talkie button, and then it just cuts to black, and that's the end of the episode.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm glad I haven't picked it up yet, for the reason is I don't do well with cliffhangers in film or otherwise, because it would drive me apeshit for a solid month or 2 months or however long between, like... episodes.
I think the biggest break in between was about a month and a half between 2 and 3.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Everyone else was about a month apart from each other.
That's really good.
And I think like that was probably the perfect amount of waiting time because it gave you a chance to sit back and think about that game and let everything soak in because there is some serious. Like, there's some seriously damaging stuff about that game that if you were to plow through it like Evan did, it can mess you up.
It didn't faze me that badly.
Well, you don't have a soul.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody on Twitter was like, I'm literally crying right now at the ending, and I didn't cry.
I didn't either, but...
You didn't cry during the body, so...
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But... That Lee, like, the very last thing that Lee and Clement, like, that very last moment with Lee and Clementine, whenever that little thing pops up in the corner, Clementine will remember that.
Yeah, see, I had all that turned off.
What? Oh, my God. It's like, you tell her your last
piece of... I don't want the game telling me when people will remember things.
No. You tell her the last piece of information, and it pops up, Clementine will remember that. And then and then she shoots you.
that's cool.
Yeah.
So did everybody have Clementine shoot?
Yeah.
Yeah. You? I don't know what the other option would have been.
Just like, have her leave.
Yeah.
Well, then that would have been weird. I don't know.
You feel like the shooting needs to happen narratively?
I guess.
Yeah.
Just to cement her, like, she's not a kid anymore, you know? Like, at the start of that game, she is a helpless little kid in a treehouse, and by the end of that, she is...
She is the Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
That's deep.
The last, Nick, the last shot of the game is actually Clementine looking in the mirror, and then... there's a zombie that looks very much like her behind her.
Yeah.
No, it's her reflection in the mirror. She looks like a zombie.
Oh.
Hey, yeah.
So I was talking with Clint about this on Twitter. But Matthew, I need your opinion on this.
Yeah.
Because I thought throughout that entire game, until the part at the very end when you see her zombie parents,
mm-hmm.
that the lady in the second...
Oh, you think that's her zombie parents?
What?
Yeah, they said that those are her zombie parents.
Oh.
Like she said, I saw my parents.
And at the very last shot of the game when she
said... No.
Okay.
No. I'm saying I thought until I saw that part, I thought throughout that entire game that the woman in episode 2 was Clementine's mother.
Oh, no. Yeah. Same with Quinn. I got her to tell me that she was just kind of a crazy woman.
She was crazy?
I didn't get that. But she looks exactly like Clementine.
I guess, but
she looks more like Clementine than Clementine's actual mother does.
Well, she was crazy and just like she wanted a daughter again. Like her daughter died or was taken or something, and so she wanted a new daughter. And
but then that
Clementine would be
just
good.
Like that guy.
Yeah,
I'm sort of glad I thought that though.
That was great.
The last part of episode 2 was a lot more impactful.
Sure.
Than it would have been if I was. Because from my perspective, that was the recording of Clementine's mother, like, a day before I was there when someone shot her.
Yeah.
Oh.
And, like, that was, oh, shit. It's going
that,
down.
That was great how that choice you made in episode 2, like, actually came back in a concrete way.
In episode 5?
You know, in episode 2. Yeah, back in episode 5 where the guy's like, you stole the supplies from my car, asshole. And I was like, oh. That's
well, that whole thing is just sort of there to give you a guilt trip about all the shitty decisions you've made. And he sort of goes through them like a list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the achievement pops after that is what's in the bag. That was a little... I don't like it when achievements try to make jokes out of really, like, powerful moments in games.
I agree.
Did you look in the bag?
No. Like, the achievement says, what's in the bag, which is a joke on what's in the box from 7.
Yeah.
Because it's a...
I know, but did you look inside the bag?
No, you can see inside the bag when he's talking in the bag.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, when I didn't really notice anything until I looked at it myself.
No, when... It's totally obvious, though.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious that he's talking to his zombie wife's head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was, like, a zombie baby.
Are you
what?
God damn it, man.
He calls it his wife.
Yeah. He's talking like,
he sits
hey.
There and looks at it and
hey,
talks
Diane,
to
let's
it like
it for whatever her name is.
This game is sounding more and more like insane and just makes me want to play it even more right now.
Oh, it's great. It is one of the best games of 2012.
It is. Well, I should once again preface that by saying the game parts range from pretty good to pretty out of place.
Yeah. Remember that puzzle in episode 1 where you put batteries in a radio?
I didn't even do that shit.
I didn't either. Yeah.
I was just like, fuck you, Carly.
No, Carly's the best character. Carly was the best character. And then... God damn it.
That was great.
Yeah, that's when...
That's when you know, like, whoa, they're not holding back.
No.
That's sort of when that series really kicks into high gear for me.
Yep.
The first, like,
two-thirds of episode three.
This is a good way to segue into talking about the comic a little bit. Nick, you remember in Woodbury, there was a girl who was traveling with her dad, and I forget her name. What's the name of the girl who shoots the person outside the RV? Starts with an L. No. Nick, I'm talking about the game in episode three. Come on, Lily. Evan. Lily?
Yeah.
Lily. Okay. So there's a girl in Woodbury named Lily in the comic who goes on the revenge trip and tries to kill everyone in the prison.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. She is a character in the Walking Dead game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that was her.
Like, how do they kind of weave the comics and the game? Because I know the game was more closely related to the comics than the TV series, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. In the first episode, you know, Glenn is with you.
You're on Herschel.
And you go to Herschel's farm. And then you meet Lily. And, like, at the end of episode three, you're just like, fuck you. And then she's out of the picture, which is probably when she goes to Woodbury. But you never, like, cross paths with Rick in the forest, and you're, like, waving at each other like a Shaun of the Dead moment. It's not like that.
Okay. Oh, that was great, though. But, yeah, that would have been weird of him. Like, are you Rick Grimes? He's like, yeah, I'm from The Walking Dead.
Ugh.
And then you move on. No, that doesn't happen. Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, the more I think about it, like, I actually really like the dialogue from the game a lot, like 20 times more than I like the dialogue from the actual comic.
The show.
And the show. But the comic itself, it goes a little bit to
people saying what's directly on their mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what the show does, all right.
Exposition central, and you're just like, okay, I get it, but let's with the game, it is definitely more, you know, prevalent that these are actual people and you're having actual conversations with them, and they could be keeping actual secrets from you.
Yeah, see, that's what I like about the earlier volumes of the comic books, and because you kind of get that a bit more when they had more characters to focus on, mm-hmm. whereas later on it kind of becomes like a self-centered asshole Rick.
But yeah.
That sort of begs the question then, is this the first video game property that's arguably better than the other properties in the same...
I mean, that is really hard. Like, that's... You know, I've read up to 101 issues of The Walking Dead. I haven't read the most recent ones. I think I have like four left to go. But it's really hard to say like one way or another that one is better than the other, because there are some really, really amazing moments in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think I'm more attached to the crew from the game than I was ever to the crew from the comics. I mean, save for Rick and Carl.
Do you think it's because you have, like, a direct, I guess, like, attachment to their day-to-day lives? Like, do they go through their day-to-day lives, like, in the game?
To some extent.
Like, bits of it, like, what they have to do to survive and what have you?
I mean...
There's moments like that. Like, you pass out the food in the second episode and... the first and second episode, there's a good amount of that.
Yeah. So you kind of feel like a direct attachment to that group more so than like Rick.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah, there seems to be like, I don't know. It's difficult because the characters from the comics are more archetypal than the characters from the game. So that that can be seen as a little bit of like a detriment on the comics part, because you know, this is the guy who's a little bit demented in the head. This is the adulterous wife. This is, you know, the old wisdom guy. This is the spunky Asian, like, just archetypes. Asian. The spunky Asian, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said funky.
No, spunky.
Don't make fun of Glenn. He's awesome.
Yeah, Glenn, Glenn is the best part of that show.
Glenn. So. Man. Nick,
now that I think about it, that game's what, like 10, 12 hours long in total?
Each episode's about 2 to 3 hours a piece.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
There's so many characters in that game.
Yeah.
Just a ton. There are episodes where they pretty much just, like, dispose of every character and bring in new ones.
But do you see that, like, as a bad thing, or do they actually make it, like, once again part of the story, or just, like, just a kind of more shock value?
They do a good job of keeping, like Kenny, he stays around for 1 to 5, and he, like, he's sort of connective tissue between all of them in a lot of ways, sure. As well as Clementine. But then they do a good job of killing off people that should be killed off in a good way.
But then there's an episode like episode 4 where you're introduced to all of these characters, and then your main crew kind of takes a back seat for the majority of the episode. And then by the end of it, everyone who you met in that episode is either gone or dead.
Wow.
And it's just it's like, that to me was a little bit like, okay, seriously, if I'm not like getting to know these characters and, like, you know, understanding their issues, like, you understand why they're doing what they're doing, but it's still just this, like, why the fuck do I care about this blonde chick who has a ice pick whenever.
See, I think they actually did a really good job with her, honestly.
But then she just disappears. Like, I want to know more about her, but I don't, I can't. Like,
I feel like you figure out a ton about her over the course of playing that.
And then there's like Vernon and all the people in the morgue, like, they're just there and then they're gone.
But do you think they're just simply like laying the seeds, if you will, for their next installment? Like,
I don't think so.
Simply because, like, you know, like, this is what, Telltale's biggest success?
Yeah, most definitely. They're definitely doing a season 2. I think they confirmed that. But it would be cool to pick up some of those character threads. Like, I would enjoy seeing more of that girl with the ice pick. I forget her name.
Molly.
Like, she was a good character. And it's not to say that the characters that were made in 4 were bad by any means. It's just that, like, they were there, and then they weren't anymore, and then you're just walking with your crew that you really didn't hang out with for the majority of episode 4.
Yeah.
I guess that doesn't bother me as much because of how few people are in your crew at the start of episode
4.
You've really got no one.
Yeah, and then one of them immediately gets taken out. So
yeah.
What,
you know,
4?
Kenny and Clementine very well, and then Krista and Amid. I guess Amid takes a little bit of too much of a backseat, you could say.
Yeah.
But I think Krista's, you know, she's done well enough. You get to know her.
Was it just me, or did you think that all of the adult women were just kind of assholes besides Carly?
This might be a bigger issue with you, Clint.
No, I mean, they all were kind of bitches whenever you first met them. And then as you got to know them, you understood why they were bitches, but they were still assholes.
Well, it's kind of like all of the female figures in both this show and the comics.
Maggie was nice.
Maggie.
Yeah, Maggie's is a rare exception, but
yeah.
I don't think Molly was really ever an asshole.
Yes, she was at the very beginning whenever she was
trying to kill her.
No, you're not. I was like, whoa, calm down, motherfucker. And she was like, I'm going to hit you with this ice pick, bitch.
Yeah, you tried to sneak up on her with a wrench.
Yeah,
no, I mean,
you tried to bash her head in with a wrench, and then she got the drop on you. And then immediately after seeing Clementine, she stops and just has a chat with you.
But then whenever you take her back to the house, she's like, don't talk to me. I'm getting food and getting out of here. Like, she
I guess I didn't really feel like that was.
And then whenever you first meet Krista, she's just kind of an asshole because she's like, you're not taking care of Clementine. I got a baby on the way.
What?
I mean, I guess I just sort of feel like
all the
characters in that game are like that at a certain point.
There was an. You didn't know that.
I kind of forgot about that.
Krista had a bit. Did Krista come with you in episode 5?
Yeah.
There's an option saying, yo, you're walking for 2, let me do this.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
And then she gets all upset when she sees the videos on in episode 4.
Yeah.
With the forced abortion. Or the attempted forced abortion.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Man, I just did not pick up on really obvious things.
But yeah. That game, great story. The show...
I'm gonna pick it up.
Nick...
Probably pretty soon.
Nick... How, overall, how do you feel about the show compared to, like, the comic book? Like, it is following in the footsteps of the comic book, but taking liberties along the way. Like, what do you think of the show?
The show right now is a mixed bag. I would say it's a lot better than seasons 1 and 2. Season 2 ended up... becoming a huge disaster throughout it, especially like having a lot of like just middle ground where absolutely nothing happened. But this season I was super excited because it's one of these big pinnacle moments from the comic book series for those who've read it, like Woodbury in the prison. And so far they've been handling it relatively well. I mean, I like some of the bigger moments in this, especially with the inclusion of Michonne, but the way they're treating certain characters is really terrible. Like, is there anyone else who reads it or watches it, rather?
Yeah, I've watched it all. I watched all of season 2 that I hadn't seen a couple of weeks back, and now I'm all caught up.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Clint. Like, you know how Andrea, this is one of the characters who's just bugging me.
And I hate Andrea. Like, I don't know if it's the way that I don't know if it's the way that she's written or the way or that her actor portrays Andrea, but something about Andrea just does not sit well with me.
I think it's like just the way her actor portrays her. She's always just like kind of smiling, and it's like just stop.
It's not even that. It's just like in the comics, she's one of those female figures who, yeah, she's a bit of an asshole. But when it comes down to it, it's because like after everything that's happened, she becomes a strong, like independent leader almost. If not more so than Rick.
Yeah.
And here, she's just an oblivious, dumb blonde. Like, I don't know how else to explain it, but she's just so oblivious to everything that's going on about her. And every week, I thought, well, maybe she's going to snap back and kind of go with. But she's just, like...
She keeps going down the rabbit hole.
And she's also just really dependent on anyone who will give her any kind of help.
Exactly. First, it was like, especially in the beginning of the season, first it was Michonne, who was a great character from the comics, even though she really doesn't say anything. She's just a badass.
Yeah.
And then she's now relying on one of the main figures, the governor, who is also a notorious villain from the comic book series. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I just don't like that relationship. Like, I liked it at first simply because it would give her a reason to, like, hate him. And maybe it'd be like, oh, she's going to turn on him when she kind of realizes what he is. But... it doesn't seem that way.
I'm a little bit concerned on how they're portraying the governor in the show, because right now it doesn't seem they're trying to portray him as like on the line between like menacing and sort of nice on the outside, and I think they're leaning too heavily on the nice, and I'm not getting why he's super.
Yeah, there's going to be a point where he flips and it's going to seem weird.
Yeah.
See, have you been watching the show though, Clint?
I have one episode that, like, last week's episode didn't see.
Okay, well...
I actually like that one a lot.
They've had hints of it, and they made a book, like, the Rise of the Governor, which was just a Kirkman, was a graphic novel or anything, and it kind of shows because he was that softer, almost, like, car salesman sketchy, like, personality where he could charm you into buying and, like, everything. That's who the governor was.
Right.
But... they're really overly emphasizing that right now, and I just want to see the opposite. Like, we've got hints of his darker side, but I just want to see it when he snaps and goes like
in the comic. Whenever you first meet the governor, he is like this giant evil figure.
Mm-hmm. Right now everyone's just calling him Philip, and it's a little like
taking
some of that menace out.
Yeah, he has that early charm at first, but it's very brief because of a certain moment where he just, like, immediately changes your opinion on him.
Right. And through the entire, like, first meeting of the governor in the comic, it's like you're on edge because he's that nice guy, and you know that something has to be wrong. And while at the same time in the show, you know something has to be wrong, but it is much more, like,
it's too subtle. Like, they they're still playing it like the one scene with the military when the very first time we met him, yeah, when he goes to the military encampment and when he does all those guys, like I thought that was a great moment kind of showing like how he was, but it seems like they really haven't followed up on that. And that's an issue, especially when we're going into the mid-season finale. Like, how long is he going to be a character for? Like, are they going to have him in the next season? Probably not. Right. And so I really think they need to push, like, how evil he truly is before the mid-season finale.
Yeah, yep. I agree.
I can see that happening.
That show is really problematic right now because all of the conversations are just sort of tedious to get through.
But it's really directed
well. And when, like that cold open for the first episode of season 3 is really great. Like, that might have been my favorite 5 minutes of the show so far. But, like, when – and, like, the stuff with Rick when he's, like, you know, not saying anything after Lori dies. That stuff's great, too. But when anyone is talking to anyone 90% of the time, it's just like, all right. That's how it's always been.
Like in season 2, there was this episode where everyone was dealing with these issues. Like Lori was dealing with hiding her pregnancy, and Andrea was dealing with like, oh, the women are being treated as people who just cook and do the laundry, and Glenn is trying to get with Mag. Like they all have these stupid problems that they're trying to work through,
which kind of persist this season.
But the worst part of it all is how it is blatantly written. Like Andrea saying, "Man, those men taking just piling on work for us women types."
Yeah.
Like what the hell? No, at least be subtle about it. Like, like the writing in that show. It is the most hit you on the fucking head with whatever issue of the week they wanna touch on. Is it the subject of death? All right, well then let's have everyone just be super sad and Rick be super violent. How about that?
I also think you can tell that show is kind of kept afloat by its like really good zombie encounters, because if you think about it, an episode of the show where no zombies show up to like kill anyone would just be really boring. Like, because, you know, if you want to have an episode of the game where there's, like, almost no zombies, like, episode 2, it's great. But when it's something like...
That's because it's well-written.
Exactly. It's just like... And the show would be like, man, you know, it used to be great before the zombies showed up. Like, that's what I would think would happen. It's just, like, really...
You know, this is an eye-opening conversation for me, because I feel like I've gotten endless amounts of shit from so many people for always thinking that The Walking Dead, the show, looked kind of dumb and I didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, it's just sort of frustrating.
You guys are saying nothing to convince me otherwise.
Well, that's because...
Well, yeah, like, the writing is really blatant, and whenever any characters have issues, it's super dumb. And if there weren't any zombies, it would just be boring as shit.
But I mean,
What am I watching this television show for then?
Because
season 3 is showing a little bit of promise, and like Rick is starting to become a good character, and Carl. It's just sort of really frustrating because it's not quite worth watching, but not.
Well, I don't feel bad
for watching it.
It's really frustrating because this is the same network that has like the incredible writing of Breaking Bad and the incredible character writing of Mad Men. While that show might be boring and nothing goes on, like the characters themselves are really interesting. And I haven't seen Hell's on Wheels, but
I was kidding.
It's so frustrating to have these really good character dramas and then The Walking Dead, which tries so hard to be a really good character drama and just kind of stumbles
they're just trying to like live up to like the hype of the comic books with these characters, but at the same time, now that it's like a visual show, that they're really trying to push the zombies and showing that, oh, like, look at this like TV show, we can actually make zombies look great.
Well, that's just them saying, oh, we didn't have any zombies in season 2, well, let's just have them kill at least 3 zombies every episode in season 3, then people will be happy.
It's a poor expense. Like, it's, you get these some great, amazing action sequences. And then, but at this like same time, you're losing character. Like,
right,
the pinnacle of this season was T-Dog. He's not a vital character at all. He's like no name.
They forgot to give him lines in season two. Oh,
yeah, like throughout it's the really bad. Season. And I mean, even in season two, like Evan, he was just this random background character who, like, if he said anything, they'd be like, T-Dog, okay, we have your opinion, but shut the hell up.
And, yeah, like, and, okay. And, like, but, oh, right, but there was this moment. There was this moment whenever, like, I watched the show with my parents. They really like the show, and I actually do want them to play it. Like, I'll play the game for them, but I want them to experience the game because I think they'll really enjoy it. But, like, it was this moment whenever T-Dog was about to die. My dad turns to me. He's like, who is that guy?
Nice. See,
and then the worst part of it all. No, the worst part of it all is as soon as T-Dog dies, they're like, oh, here's this new black guy that can be our buddy.
Yeah. See, that was the one episode because what happens is T-Dog comes like in the episode where he dies, like he comes to confront or clash with Rick. And he's like, no, I think we should help these inmates. I mean, they're people, like they're just like us, they're survivors. And then literally like 20 minutes later, he gets bitten. It's like, well, there goes that confrontation. I mean,
yeah,
it's so pointless. And another issue was, they try to have these like grander mysteries. Like last season, it was Sophia, and this season was.
I thought that was actually one of the few good parts of season two. That barn house scene
that lasted too long, and well, except for the barn scene, obviously.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it, but that moment was great. I thought.
But yeah. This season, it's like her mom, Carol, who goes missing in this clash. And you know she's not dead, but they dragged it on for three episodes, four?
What,
and
Sophia?
The most annoying thing that everyone thinks that Carol's dead, but then they find her because she's in a door. And it's so dumb. Like, these characters who have some really great potential and probably some of the best acting in the show, like, they just ignore them. Like, Carol's one of them. I really like her character and what they're doing with her as compared to in the comics.
Yeah.
And yet they completely, all of a sudden, will just not have her for, like, these episodes. Whereas in, like, the only exception is Daryl, who is kind of taking on more of that leader responsibility now that Rick's gone batshit insane.
Yeah. Like,
and I really like what they're trying to do with him. Whether or not that persists is...
Nah, it was the same thing with Shane in season two. Like, you finally, like...
Yeah, it's like, how crazy do we want Shane to be this week? Okay, want to be a little loopy.
No. Like, you got to see Shane go crazy before he finally confronted Rick like he did. And, like, that turned out to be a really cool dynamic that the comic didn't go into. And then you've got, Daryl? Daryl. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? That's his name?
Crossbow guy?
Yeah.
Daryl.
Okay. That
bodes Merle well. Or Daryl?
Merle? No, you got Daryl, who sword is another guy. Character that's not in the comics. Like, the things that they do that's not in the comics are usually pretty good. But whenever they try to reenact certain things that the comic did really well, they kind of fall on their face with. Like, with
so
exceptions,
I have a question then.
With exceptions like the barn scene.
Do you think that's pilot. Because just like in your mind, if you viewed these two scenes, this one's good, this one isn't. Or is it because you have the prior knowledge of the, like, you've read the comics, so you have a certain expectation for how this should play out.
It's right. Prior knowledge. It's, I mean, full hearted.
So, like, if I were to watch this show without having read the comics, would I find the same thing where, like,
I mean,
the new
Matthew,
stuff is good, but the stuff from the comics isn't as good?
Matthew, you haven't read the comic, have you?
Yeah, I haven't.
So, you might... on
oh,
your
like, give
your
me
opinion,
an example.
So, an example?
The barn scene in the last season, like, plays much differently. For one, like, Sophie and all that crap doesn't happen, and Shane's not
right.
there.
I thought the Sophia stuff was sort of tedious and, like, a bad joke that got kind of funny again after a certain point because it was going on so long. But that barn scene was good.
Yeah. Well, in the comics, they don't focus on Sophie. They focus on Herschel because in that one scene – spoilers in the comics, his literally, like, half of his family gets murdered.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, yeah. He watches, like, half of his family, and same with Maggie, like, they watch half their family get brutally slaughtered by, like, the zombies, and it's just...
So is like, this the same Herschel from the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and the whole Herschel's Farm thing in the comic only takes a couple of issues, and the entire time people are like, what's in that barn? What's in the barn? You know exactly where it's headed to, and it fast-tracks it while adding these character-specific moments. And with the show, it was all of these character-specific moments, and then suddenly they realize, oh, wait, there's a barn on this farm. What's inside?
That's the issue, because you kind of, like, in the comics, there's a subtle notion of, like, Herschel talking about his family, which they kind of showed in the series, but then, like, it's mentioned in an episode, and then four episodes later, like, I don't remember this, I don't give a crap, and then the barn scene happens. Like, they don't like, especially it's kind of harder to do, because they cover, like, a month or a couple weeks within a single issue of a comic, whereas in, like, they have to expand over an entire season, because Herschel's Farm, they're on it for no more than a month or something like that. Yeah. Month and a half. And then in the show, obviously, like, it seems like they're there for months and months and months.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think the farm itself was the problem. It's just that they didn't have anything good to do on the farm.
So the farm.
Also, that show is really dumb sometimes. Like, there's that episode where, like, there's that zombie inside the well, and they're like, well, we better lower in our best character to try to get him out. It's like, that well is definitely contaminated. Why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
I think T Dog gets his best line when he's like, well, that was worth it, or something like that. It was a pretty good line.
I think it's just silly because what made, like, the comic so interesting was the little things they put in it, like their survival aspects, like them searching for food or them searching for gas to keep the generators running and stuff like that. And when they try to, like, incorporate that into a show, they're like, well, this wouldn't be really that interesting for a larger, like, viewership. So let's throw a zombie in the well, or let's throw a zombie in the supermarket. Even, like, and it's just, it turns out really poorly, even though it's some great visuals, like some really, like, great special effects. It's just not as intriguing as it could be.
Yeah.
And, like, I keep thinking, because Evan keeps asking, well, why are you watching the show if you think it's bad and the comic is better? And I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Watching. I kind of know. It's sort of like, I think it's on the tipping point of actually turning into something pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's kind of interesting to watch to see if it'll get better.
I mean, it's the same thing of, like, why did I watch all seven Harry Potter movies? When, like, I read all those books already, I know that material. Why am I watching a visual representation of it? I don't know, but it's exciting because, like, you're seeing something that you like being adapted to a different medium, and that's interesting. But whenever they do a really bad job of it, then, like, I feel like I have to watch it and tell, like, whenever the governor goes into the room and there's all those aquariums full of heads.
That's so good.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's not exactly what was supposed to be in that room from what I remember in the comics. I was telling my parents because I didn't think they were going to do the zombie girl, the zombie daughter thing. So I was like, yeah, he has a zombie daughter that he feeds food from this gladiator arena. And they were like, what? I don't know what you're talking about, but that sounds cool. And
okay, so let's just say what everybody's thinking. You're probably watching this show because you enjoy when you get to tear it to shreds for doing something worse than the comic.
I mean, yeah, but I also really like whenever the show does things good. Like,
sure.
I really like watching zombies get their heads blown off. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, I think the show, its saving grace is that it's not generally boring. Like,
really? Because I've heard
it's sort of boring.
I've heard a lot to the contrary. You know, in fact, I've heard that show's sort of interminably boring.
It's tedious because they are bordering on, like, some great material, and then you watch it just stumble. Like I've said it multiple times in this podcast.
Yeah, sometimes
it just,
it's good, like,
it just,
like,
stumbles.
Glenn and Maggie's good. I'd like Rick.
Yeah, there are good aspects
of
that show.
Sometimes the stuff that happens with the governor is good. I like when no one's talking and the director's just directing.
I'm just going to throw this out there. You know what I think was never boring? The Walking Dead game.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There are some parts.
Without a doubt, the game is far better than the show. I mean,
the thing is, the reason why I watch it is because I read the comics before, like, even the show was, like, in production. And it's just because what it came down to it is, above, like, being, like, a zombie, oh, my God, like, craziness, it was a character piece on this main figure's fall from grace. Like, how far was he willing to go to protect his family and, like, to ultimately survive in a world without limits? And, I mean, you kind of get aspects of that in this show, which it's a really good, like, opportunity for them to have a character piece based around zombies and kind of show that this isn't for, like, per se, teenagers or kids. Like, you actually have these serious adult moments.
Right.
But they can't really do that when they're trying to encapsulate such a large audience, and when they're trying to, like, I don't know, just incorporate all these
the theme of the week.
Mm-hmm, exactly, like, theme of the week, kill a zombie, repeat next week, like, moments.
Yeah, but
this brings me to, I have about the Walking Dead game. Is that the most adult game ever?
I don't in terms of what?
In terms of just maturity and pace and theme.
I mean
obviously it's not you don't get to partake in, you know, threesome mini games like God of War 2.
Well, but no, I mean, like, I'm starting to think, like, what else can I consider, like, a mature game like that, and, you know, like, there are some that come to mind, like L.A. Noir and Heavy Rain. But I mean,
I think we can agree Spec Ops: The Line is a mature game.
Sure,
thank
God
you.
Damn it!
Three, even though it takes place in a high school, Persona 3
is definitely one of the most mature games.
And also, Matthew, you have not gotten to the part of Persona 3 that makes it
one of
class
the most mature.
How do you know? Because I would have tweeted about it.
Yeah. yes, like, it is up there. Like, I didn't – whenever I went into – like, whenever they first announced the Walking Dead game by Telltale, I was like, how is that going to work? And then I played the first episode, and I realized what they were going for, and that is – It is absolutely fantastic that game exists right now and has such a mainstream appeal from people. It is a mature, thought-provoking game with very little in terms of actual gameplay or shooting things. It is an emotional, like, story, character-driven experience, and I think Telltale hit it directly on the head with what they needed to prove with that game, and it's got to be a message for other developers, like, yes, people can stomach this stuff. It is good stuff. We need games to evolve past this B level, I'm gonna shoot dudes and kill the bad guy at the end of the game.
Right. And I mean, I think in that way, The Walking Dead might actually be a really good first video game for someone. In terms of, I'm not saying, like, a 6-year-old.
Right. but
should I get them Super Mario Brothers for the NES or The Walking Dead?
Do you mean like, leading someone into video games? Like, say you've got a spouse or somebody or a cousin who doesn't really play video games, you give them The Walking Dead, like,
it would
just
be
play
a good
this.
Starting point.
Yeah.
Because it's barely, it has a lot of the cool things about where video games are right now in terms of interactivity and player choice, but it's also not really that much of a game.
Right.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Right.
And then, the part where I have to go look around to find a quarter to put in the goddamn telescope at the waterfront, sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of the worst part.
That's so dumb. And then you look through it. No boats!
Adventure game hooks sometimes. Where just puzzles, I mean, they make some sort of sense in context, but they're presented so flatly. And
I that is the best
or when you're trying to, the fixing the train thing was pretty tedious in 3.
Well, yeah, but at least that
made sense.
I don't know, that feels better to me than the example I just gave of.
Yeah, for sure. Find a quarter and look into the telescope and realize what your eyes could have told you just by looking out of the water. There are no boats here. Oh, no.
Yeah, just weird stuff like that. Also,
a boat on the pier right next to you, and you're like, yeah, maybe we could fix this.
No. It's pointing up. Boats don't do that when they're fixed. But there's the thing at the beginning of that game where it says, like, this is a game series that adapts to the choices you make, I really like, because it feels like some sort of weird throwback to, like, the Resident Evil, this game contains extreme violence and disturbing imagery. Yeah. Like,
it's also, like... Like we said before, even though it incorporates those player choices and adapts like the character-specific moments, the overarching narrative is the one through line. Like, everyone is going to have the same start, middle, and end of that game, but it is how you interact with the people in that environment that changes the impact, yes, contextually of the entire story, like how you feel about Clementine and Kenny and Ben. Like, are you going to get emotional whenever Duck and Katja are in the woods, or are you just going to say, whatever, Kenny, you deal with this yourself?
Now, I guess another question I had is, do you think this is also like a great, I guess, middle way to get, like, fans of the TV series perhaps into the comic books?
I think so, because it takes the visual aspect of the television show and the art style from the comic, and then it also incorporates a lot more of what the comic achieves through its narrative than the television show does. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm going to try and get... And it's not going to happen, but if I'm going to try and get my parents to read the Walking Dead comic book, they're watching the show right now. I introduce them to the game, and then they say, all right, I want more of this. Well, here, read this comic.
Yeah, it's the same thing like with family members of mine. So we like trying to find like that medium where, because I have family members who absolutely love the TV series, like, yeah, will watch it, but then like, they don't want to get into, I guess, comic books, so they still see them as childish or immature. Whereas in like Walking Dead is a very adult oriented comic book series.
Very, very much so. Episode or issue 100 alone.
Don't tell me I'm still behind on like the latest volume.
Dude.
It's not even out issue yet. I've heard some messed up stuff.
God, issue 100. That is, man.
Yeah, I've heard. I looked up some. I was looking up some stuff, and I saw a spoiler there, and I'm very, very upset.
But, oh man! Yeah. Oh man! Yeah, but I mean, it kind of sucks that most people are going to experience the show, and they're not going to experience the best parts, which are the comic and the game.
See, that's the whole thing. Like, it's just like I wanted to like try to convince these family members, like, yeah, you love the show, read the comics, and they're like, oh well, like I don't know if I like.
Yeah, them. Everyone I talk to, I'm like at school who watches the show, I'm like, you know the game, and as soon as I say game, they're just like,
yeah,
they're game, whatever. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, this, that's far better than the show, and they never believe me. And when they do, they're like, oh yeah, you're totally right.
Because, like, whereas, and I have people who, like, would never, like, play, like, an actual more, like, a more heavy, like, RPG or action or shooter game. Whereas, in, like, if they had maybe had a simple interactive experience, mm-hmm, like, I think maybe they'd maybe partake into different mediums, like, not only be part of the TV show, but video games and comic books. Yeah. So I think the game is, like, a perfect opportunity to kind of blend all three, or it seems that way.
Definitely. Like what Evan said before, like the game is a great game to introduce people into gaming. Like, we started watching the show. I told my mom, you guys should play the game. Like, it's really cool, and it does some things way better than the television show. And she's like, I don't want to do that. And so then, I have to get them to at least watch me play that, because they will really enjoy it. But I showed her L.A. Noire when that first came out. I was playing that, and I just sat. I said, "Okay, just let's just sit down. I'm gonna control the game, but I want you to tell me what to do, what to interact with. Let's solve this case together." And it. And she got really into it. Like, it was like an episode of a CSI or whatever, cop drama. And she really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like
it.
That show.
Yeah, it's, well, same thing, like, only with my dad. Because he's like, hey, is that Ken Cosgrove from Mad Men? I'm like, it is. You should sit down and play this game with me.
Yeah.
Like, he would, like, and just for simple, like, minutes. Because it's one of those things, like, games like you were just mentioning, like Walking Dead, LA Noir, and these games that are really heavy narratives, maybe not so much on the gameplay,
right?
I think are a great medium to get an older audience who simply saw like video games as like Mario, Pac-Man, and the older arcade games, like as a simplistic child game, into this medium, which has significantly grown.
Yeah. So that I think it's safe. Okay, let's end this podcast on one final note. Of the three, which is the best Walking Dead experience? Let's start with Evan.
Let me think about this one.
What if there was the game?
I haven't read the comic or watched the television show.
Okay, so what if there was an like? Now that I'm thinking about it, what if there was like one of those Goosebumps choose your own adventure books, but for The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool, right? Yeah. I should write.
You know, somebody published that for The Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, really? A choose your own adventure book?
Yeah.
That's cool.
See, I really wish they would have had that on like the special features, like on the movie, even though that would have been a lot more like encompassing to do. It's like, oh, choose how they die. That would have been amazing. Yeah.
That would have been pretty great.
So, Evan, you say the game.
Yeah, no, the game.
Matthew, you haven't read the comic yet.
But definitely gets a show, I would imagine, at least on part of the comic.
No, of the three, which one do you think is the best? Do you think the show is the best?
No, I think the comic's the best. I mean, I think the game's the best.
God damn it, Matthew. You know, it's an easy question.
He doesn't do well under pressure.
I'm sorry.
Nick.
As I've only seen with very little of the game, I would have to say the comic book, but I'm saying once I do play the video game, I don't know, I probably
will come
be
back to this.
Tied.
Okay, so I guess I'm the only one who can make a definitive decision here because I've watched all of the show, read all of the comic, and played all of the game. The game's the best.
Okay. I'm glad someone's saying it.
The game is the best Walking Dead experience you can have. And
that's the best Telltale experience you can have. But they really need to get a new engine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that game sort of jank.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead at points with their animation and especially like their cuts in cinematics.
Yeah.
Are always really weird and stilted.
Yep. Ooh, what if we were to get like the LA Noir or Beyond Two Souls like mocap facial animation inside of the Walking Dead game.
But can we keep like the comic book aesthetic?
Yeah.
Oh.
That would kind of like weird.
So like a Scanner Darkly type deal?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the Walking Dead should just be an FMV game.
Yeah.
Every game is an FFP game.
In the vein of Night Trap.
Oh, boy.
I don't know about that. I mean, I like some Night Trap, but if I have to go around and figure out the codes for the Walking Dead rooms, I don't know, man.
I think this is a sign we should end this.
As soon as we go to FMB, you know things are just going to go downhill from here.
Yeah. Well, but I recommend everybody play the game. It is, I don't know where it will land on my top 10. It'll probably be in the top 5. Play it.
Same here.
It's fantastic. I'm
sure check it out before year's end.
Yeah.
Definitely. If you're a fan of the show, if you're a fan of the comic, or if you're a fan of the game, you like
or
the
Or if you're a fan
Dead.
Of good things like I am, you can skip those other two and just...
The comic is great, man.
I know. I'm just...
We are the Walking Dead.
trying to get fries out of people.
Don't you understand, Evan? We are zombies.
Oh, wait, so The Walking Dead is about the people,
exactly.
Not the zombies.
Exactly. 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 And also, the Walking Dead universe takes place in a universe where no one's ever seen a zombie movie or heard of zombies. That's why they don't call them zombies.
Yeah, call them walkers. I also thought that would be a cool idea for a movie where, like, a bunch of people know all of the zombie and they have to, like, figure out what type of zombie their actual zombie apocalypse is. If it's, like, a fast-moving zombie.
That'd be so I had a choose-your-own-adventure, like, mature zombie book that did that. And they, like, you just run into like a warehouse full of geeks at one point and they're like, yeah, we got this, we just gotta put guts on ourselves and we're good.
Exactly. It'd be so boring. It'd be like, skip to 124, they learned how to hunt for resources, scavenge, and lived and made a happy like society. The end. Like,
yeah,
there's a part of that book where they go to Comic-Con and then like who's the guy that does like Dawn of the Dead and stuff?
Romero.
Yeah, you meet him, and he's just, like, behind it all, and he just orders them to go away.
And on that note, thanks for listening to this Pushing the Hot Button on
George Romero, King of Zombies,
Walking
both figuratively
Dead.
And literally.
Check out the game. Check out the comic.
Check it.
Fuck it. Let's do this.
Push
End
it. Punch
the
it.
Podcast with zombies.
All
right. Anybody else have something they want to say to? We got the check.
I want to give Clementine a hug.
Clementine will remember that.
Yeah.